So if you will, open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 16. Praise God. Katie, where are you at? Are you back there in the booth? Yeah. Have her stand up. Stand up. Praise God. You're going to have a little baby. Well, I sat down here and was talking to Victor. The Lord came on me and wanted me to give you a word. You ready to receive a word from God? Your baby will be fine. God will see to it that your little baby and you are preserved. Have no fear. You receive that? It's a little girl. Is it a little girl? Praise God. Well, she's going to be a little girl. Hallelujah. You know, it helps to hear from the Lord. You know, when the Lord... So evidently, Katie, maybe you were concerned about that. I don't know. But, you know, if you were, just rest in peace. You're going to have that little kid. Praise God. Well, are you guys ready for the word? Where'd I have you go? Matthew 16. Let me get there with you. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God. We thank you so much for your precious Word. We thank you for coming and dying and resurrecting and seating us into heavenly places with you. What an honor and what a privilege, Father. May we learn to respect that with our whole heart. It is so precious to us, especially when we have to do your work in the earth and win men to Christ. So, Father, today I ask that you choose the right words to give your people, because we know that this is our bread from heaven, and we have to know where it belongs, where it goes, and how it's put there, how it's planted, and how it grows. And so, Father, even those that are listening by live stream, may they get a hold of this, what I'm going to share this morning, so that they have victory in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 16, again, Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Stay focused today, people. Stay focused. I know how this natural mind can butt in. I call my natural mind Buttinsky. Butts in every time the Spirit has something to say. But he asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And some of them said Elijah, and other Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. But he said to them, "Whom do you say that I am?" And that's when Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then, of course, Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so he says that revelation came from the Father that was in heaven. You know, later on in this chapter, Peter opens his mouth and says something totally the opposite. It's funny, you know, God can speak to us, but if we don't really grasp when he's speaking to us, we could miss it altogether. So evidently, Peter had not realized as much as Jesus realized where his voice was coming from. It was coming through a revelation that the Lord was able to give Peter. And what I thought was very interesting, he said, "And I say unto you also, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Notice what he said. He said, the government structure of Satan cannot overcome the church that he's going to build. You know, that's good news. How many of you ever read Kenneth Hagin's book, The Authority of the Believer? That's where I'm coming from. So he says, right off, he says, that Hades shall not prevail. The word prevail means to be victorious against it. You know, I thought it was very interesting in Thessalonians where Paul, the apostle, made this remark that the church is the restrainer from Satan to come fully into focus through the Antichrist. And so everything follows suit perfectly. But he says here, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, keys unlocks doors. It gives you the ability to enter in. And this is how he said about this entering in. He says, I will give you the keys of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, the translators worded it that way, but this is how it is worded in the Greek. It says, the kingdom of heaven, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Isn't that interesting? He was talking about that when he begins to build his church, this church will have the ability to overcome the powers of darkness. And also this verse is telling us that God will work in conjunction with the earth and third heaven. We'll be working together. People, that's good news. That is good news. Now, with that thought in mind, where do you want me to go next, Lord? Okay, hallelujah. With that thought in mind, let's go again back to Romans chapter 12, because we've been there a few times, and I want to go back there again. And I love the book of Romans. It is a wonderful book. And I call it Paul's masterpiece. And in Romans chapter 12, at let's just go to verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In the Greek, it says, it's your logical service. You know the way he said logical? Because it's the only thing that makes any sense. The kingdom of God, I'll tell you, the kingdom of God operates through our spirit. It doesn't operate through our body. It operates through our spirit. That's how the kingdom of God operates. The body is the lampstand that gives us the ability to express the kingdom to humanity. So really, the body becomes a product of what takes place in our spirit, our inner man. And that's important for us to know that, because he goes on and says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, last Sunday, I brought out the meanings of these words, prove, good, and acceptable, and perfect will. And it's important because you understand that, first of all, when you present your body a living sacrifice, how many of you really realize how important that statement is? You know what a living sacrifice is? It means it's a sacrifice that's still living. Did you know, I thought it was very interesting whenever the church is mentioned through the epistles, especially the Pauline epistles. Did you know that the body there, referring to the church, is always referencing to the word soma? Soma. A lot of people don't understand that word, soma. Soma is another word that you would use to describe a cadaver. It means a body that has been placed in a coffin. Or it's a body that's in the state of death. It literally is referring to a man who had died, and yet he's not present within the body. Soma. Isn't that interesting? Remember I brought out there are three forms of doctrine that you have to know in order to grow spiritually. See, a lot of believers don't understand that spiritual growth does not come through the body. Spiritual growth comes through the Spirit. And as it comes through the Spirit, the body conforms to it. Hello? As it comes through the Spirit, the body conforms to it. It is meaning that when you're born from above, you have a different life now that you must live, and you must rule over this outward person. Because God did something to it. He put it to death. Now, how did he put it to death? Well, if you've ever looked at somebody in the grave or in the morgue, and I've been there, and you look at them, you know they're not there. How many can say amen to that? You know they're not there. Where are they? Well, they're in heaven. They're not soul sleeping. They're in heaven. And so I thought it was real funny because we are a spiritual house. Did you know that? According to Peter, it says he's building you a spiritual house. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about you are a temple. You are a temple of the living God. The word temple there means, well, in the Greek it says shrine, but what it's referring to there is the body of Christ in the earth. It's not referring to as an individual, he's referring to as a member in the body of Christ, as a holy temple. And that's where Paul brings out the fact, you better be careful how you treat the temple of God. Because God is not very kind in that area. But anyway, I want to bring out some reality to you today. We are living in a time period that is vitally important that we understand what our faith is built on more than anything else, because we are inundated with information that you don't know where it's coming from. And the only way you're going to know where it's coming from is that the scriptures of God's word can rightly divide the word of truth on your behalf. Not only for what you are now, but for what you will be in the future. It's important that we understand that. So he goes on and he says, prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is not brought up very often, but I brought it up again. I brought it up a Wednesday night also. This word for prove means to test with the expectation of approving it after it's been tested. You know, it means that when you're going to present your body a living sacrifice, he's going to end up being graveyard material. But when you look at the word soma, it means the spirit is not there. I got news for you. The reason he uses the word soma for the body of Christ is because there's a different spirit in the body of Christ. It's called the Spirit of Christ. You're born again. You occupy now your physical members with a completely different spirit than you had before you got born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now you have a brand new life. And people, you've got to learn to appreciate that very fact, that the greatest thing that we are ever going to know throughout eternity is the cross. The cross. That's where it all begins. And that's where it goes from there, is the cross. And the first thing he had to do is he had to give me the freedom to present my outward man a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. How many of you are born again? Wow. How many of you have been put to death? Well, what part of you has been put to death and what part of you is living? We need to think about that because it's important. Because if you're going to have heaven work for you while you're on planet Earth, and you're going to work with God in the third heaven, you're going to have this up and down thing. It will be according to what you are in resurrection, not what you are in the natural. Or otherwise, we're back in the Old Testament again. But the greatest thing that has happened to you, you have been given a new lease on a completely different life. Hallelujah. Now, the only way that you can understand giving your outer man up as a living sacrifice is to know that you now belong to the body of Christ. You belong to a completely different life while you're occupying your outward man. It's a sheath for your inward man who has come alive now and has developed into being able to operate through you. To operate through you. Hello? To operate through you. Hello? To operate through you. And boy, that is unique. Very unique. But notice a lot of it depends upon your mind, your attitude. What do you got going on in your mind? Because this word here, prove, means you're doing it with the expectation of finding that it is going to be approved in your life. It means literally God gives you a word and you get the opportunity to obey it. But when God gives you and me a word, I got news for you. When he gives you a word, guess what he gives it with? He gives you a word with something. 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 And you know what the with something is? Anybody want to know what the with something is? With the understanding that if you disobey it, you have a different outcome. You know, it's funny how you'll hear the word, but when you hear the word, it also comes with consequences. But you know what? Because if we do not get a revelation of how Satan can use our outer man against us, he can divide our house. And if he divides us up within ourselves, we'll fall. But in order for us to stay intact, we've got to do something to remain intact so that we do not get divided. One way is put the outward man where he belongs. And put the inward man where he belongs. You got to put them where they belong. Which makes it very interesting about the seed of God's word. If you are now good ground because you were born again, how many of you can say, I'm good ground? Satan wants every one of us to really think that we are still the old person we used to be. And that's why Paul was so emphatic that you've got to come to this one conclusion. Those old things have passed away. When a person dies, then he dies with his old man. He dies with the old man's ways. He dies with the old man's tongue. He dies with the old man's reasoning. He's dead. And if he's dead, that means he no longer has any rule here. If he's been transferred into the kingdom of light. Now, I don't know about you. Studying end time events, I have learned something real quick. Like, number one, I've learned what it means to give identity to believers who are departing from the faith. I never thought along those lines for a long time because all as we want to hear is the good stuff. But I'm going to tell you, people, we also need to know how the enemy is working, how he can work in us to bring forth his stuff. I heard one minister say that people are weeds. Me and John both heard that. People are weeds. Well, technically it's true, but you know what a weed is? It's what people have permitted to grow in them. And I got news for you. When you were sealed with the Spirit of Christ, did you know, I'm going to maybe catch a lot of you off guard, but when you're born from above and you're sealed with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you're sealed, that literally means you're ground that Satan has no access to. Now, did you know that Satan has no access even to your spiritual mind? Why? Because the Holy Spirit won't permit it. Well, how do I know when he will not permit something to be sown in me that's bad? It's called, not condemnation, it's called conviction. It literally means that the Holy Spirit, when you are opening the door to a tear that has been sown by him, immediately the Holy Spirit goes to the inner man to protect it. To give you a discernment not to let that thing enter. But the bad part about it is the seed that Satan sows goes into the outward ground. And if you pay attention to that seed that has been sown in your outward ground, you'll become friends with it. And you will begin to think like it. And you will begin to move like it. And you'll begin to do what? Produce fruit after it. What kind of fruit it is. I'll tell you, you want me to give you an illustration of what kind of fruit that would be? It calls it stinks. Thank God that I will not permit a person into my life to be my paraclete unless I know they're spiritual. Before anything else, I have to know that they have the ability to develop me spiritually. I don't want a learner that is a boy trainer that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. The word instructor literally means a child trainer, one who administers discipline, who is not required nor capable of imparting revelation knowledge. And that's the only place it's mentioned in the New Testament. And it came from Paul. That's why Paul was so dearly hated by those who wanted control. You want to know why? Because Paul was very independent of those who were especially false teachers. Especially those who would not submit to the will of God. They thought they were submitting to the will of God, but they weren't submitting to the will of God, and Paul could tell. And one of the things that Paul had to fight more than anything else was, first of all, his physical appearance. He didn't look good, evidently. Well, if you'd have been through what he'd been through, you probably wouldn't look all that cute neither. They said his bodily presence is offensive. And not only that, but his speech is horrible. Why do I relate to that? I have to have other scribes help me to word things. No, that's not how you want to say that. You want to say it this way. Because sometimes you can go so deep that you need people to pull you out. So you can relate to people, so to speak. And so, having to say that, very important, that you have to understand what it means to develop yourself spiritually. And a lot of people do not understand how to develop themselves spiritually. And we preach it all the time. And I've even had people come up and say, Jan, why don't you deal with the issue of sin? How do you want me to deal with that? You tell people they're rotten sinners. Hey, I got news for you. When I started church, I knew that. Matter of fact, when I went to church, when I first started going to church, they confirmed I was a rotten sinner. And that I had to do everything in the world to keep Jesus from kicking me out of heaven. And that was my whole concept of thinking. But when God started leading me to those who could develop me spiritually, and they showed me something about the Holy Spirit I had never ever seen before until I began to really apply it to my life. Now I want to share something with you people. It's one thing for God to give you a word, and it will always come with the consequences if you don't obey it. That was the first Adam. He was given a word, but he went right around the word that was given to him and received the word that Eve gave him. Which one is your Eve? Where is your Eve? Might not be your wife, might not be your children, but it might be your friends. You know, you have to determine what Eve is speaking to you that would cause you to violate God's word. You know, this question is asked me tons of times. And whenever I tell them what it means, they look shocked. Did you know Jesus says, if you want to come and be my disciplined follower, the first thing you're going to have to do is hate your wife, hate your children. He used the word hate. And I'm always asking him, what did he mean by that, Pastor Jan? What did he mean by hate and hate not? Did you know that if you want to be a disciplined follower of Christ, and if you want to really love your family, you'll follow Jesus? Because if you follow him and what he says, your family will be just fine. But if you put them before Jesus, your family will not be just fine. Why? Because Jesus was a word made manifest that you and I have to learn how to obey that word and follow it, because that is the word of our faith. Now, here's the major part that we're indebted with right now in our time period. What is that? Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And this is where I want you to stay focused on what I'm going to tell you. In 2 Timothy, go to chapter 2, go to chapter 3, go to chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. Now I'm going to say something, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 is Paul the Apostle giving information to Timothy about where the church is going to be in the latter times. The entire book is on that. Now, there are ministers today saying he's referring to worldly people and what the world's going to be like and all this and that. No, Paul has given Timothy information about what the church is going to be like in the end of days. Now, how did I get that? Well, I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I was reading some material, and it finally dawned on me, wait a minute. This is referring to sinners. But this book is not referring to sinners, it's referring to believers. The entire book. And did you know what the Apostle Paul told Timothy right at the get-go of this book? At chapter 1, verse 6, here's what he told Timothy. He says, oh, Timothy, you got a lot of problems now, huh? First Timothy, he told Timothy, this is how you put the church together. Second Timothy, Timothy comes screaming to Paul saying, help! The church is falling apart. And the first thing that Paul goes to in Timothy, he says, Timothy, where did you pick up the spirit of fear? Where did you get that spirit? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Why don't you stir up that gift that was given you by the laying on of my hand? He wasn't referring to 1 Timothy where the presbyters got together and laid their hands on Timothy and set him apart for the work of the ministry, which is the logical and best and accurate way of sending someone out for ministry. But no, Timothy, all of a sudden, he's in a mess and a fix. And then Paul goes right to the heart of Timothy's problem. He said, Timothy, where did your warrior-like spirit go? Where did it disappear to? I'll tell you why, Timothy, because you haven't been praying in the Holy Ghost. You haven't been praying in the Holy Ghost. You haven't stirred up the fire within you. You know, whenever I talk about speaking in tongues, the first thing they do when we give an altar call, people come forward because they want prayer for that. Because why? They have not been doing that. People, you know why I stay on fire for God? I pray in the Holy Ghost. Every morning, I give myself at least an hour praying in tongues before I even get into the Word. And now I know the Word so well that when I'm praying in the Spirit, I won't even approach the Word until I have had my inner man communicating with God. And I know that the Spirit within me is giving me the utterance so that I can speak it to God by my will, by my choice, my choosing. And the beautiful thing about it is, now that I understand how important this scripture is, and know that this scripture has been put together in such a way that there is nothing that would escape what God could see that we need that would not be in scripture. The only thing is, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. It has to fit where it belongs. And so I get into the word every morning I do. My wife will be a testimony. I keep my mind in the Word of God constantly. Why? Because of the crap that keeps going on around us all the time and this mouthing off and people speaking things they don't know anything about. Jude said, right in line with 2 Timothy, did you know that almost every quote in Jude comes out of 2 Timothy? Did you guys know that? It's true. And Jude says, this is one thing that's going to happen in the end time. He said, people are going to say things they don't know anything about. They don't know diddly squat. And another thing, they are not going to have any respect for the anointing of God. They're going to be independent. And when you're independent of the anointing of God, don't attack Goliath. He'll cut your head off. You got to be like David. I don't come to you in my name. I come to you in the name of the Lord. For he took care of a lion. He took care. Hey, have you guys ever seen an African lion with a big mange attack people? David said that somehow the anointing of God came on him and he tore one in half. Can you imagine grabbing a lion and what about a bear? No, see, David knew the anointing of God, and if he knew he abided in that anointing, that he was safe. You know, Satan right now is trying to divide the church, break the body of Christ up. Why? He doesn't want you to get under the anointing of God. He's trying to cut off the pulpit, the anointing that flows from it. Why? Because he has a fear, and he cannot tolerate tongue talkers. Because on the day of Pentecost, he gave a language that James said, if you're going to teach, don't use your natural tongue. Use the tongue that brings the wisdom of God. And I'll sit there and people, I don't know how it works, but I sit there and I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues until I feel an illumination. Then I'll get right into scripture and now he tells me where to go. And so I go into scripture and I see it and I see it so clear. So clear. Wow. I never seen it like that. And he says, it's because when you talk to me, then I give the Holy Spirit the ability to give you that information. But it has to come from you. You know, people, you've got to learn how to use the Holy Spirit in your life. And one thing is, you better speak in tongues. Listen, speaking in tongues, you might not draw the knowledge of God out with it because that might not be your calling. But when your spirit is communicating spirit to spirit, he is preparing you to be able to discern what truth is and what truth isn't. You'll have, no, wait a minute, that doesn't, no, there's something wrong with that. My wife says, I heard this minister and they were really praising how good he was, but I don't think he was saying the right thing. Why? Because if your spirit is communicating with God on a consistent basis, it builds a discernment within you to be able to hear properly. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. You think Jesus was talking about your natural ear there? No, he was talking about your spiritual ear. And that's why when I get through speaking in tongues, I do not like to approach the word without first of all committing my prayer language to God. Because God knows what I have in mind to go to in Scripture. He knows it right away. And so he is now prepared to have the Holy Spirit give me the utterance to that passage. And that's why we have received the tongue of the learned. But it doesn't come by somebody saying something to you. It drops in you as an understanding until you experience that. It's a treasure to me. It's a treasure to me. And I cherish it. Why? Because that is what builds my most holy faith. You know what a most holy faith means? It means there's another kind of faith that's not so holy. That's what that term means, your most holy. And the meaning of that means that there's a faith that's not so holy. You know you have a natural faith as well as a spiritual faith. Did you know you have a natural reasoning as well as a spiritual reasoning? But God has done something unique to you. He has born you with a brand new spirit that has the ability to know God. And notice what he says here in 2 Timothy here. Let's go to verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire. According to their own desire. According to their own desire, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up. Notice he said, heap up. It means they will gather many. Heap many up of people that they want to turn and say things for themselves. They will look for teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. Why? Because they don't like sound doctrine. You know what that means? It means there's going to come a time when the church, many within the church, will not desire to hear sound doctrine. They will only want to hear the doctrine that fulfills their own desires. And people, I got news for you. God is a good God, but God is also not a good God. You got to hear both sides of the story here. Because it says the beginning of all knowledge is the fear of God. We, God is such a good God. I can live any way I want to, but His love will cover me. No, it won't, because His doctrine will reprove you, rebuke you, and correct you. David knew that. He was a man after God's own heart. But David had this testimony within himself. Is there any wicked way in me? If there's any evil in me, God, show me so that I can go in the way of everlasting life. Somebody asked me once, well, what happens if you don't obey conviction? Two things happen. Number one, you do not carry the witness of Christ. And number two, you are not concerned about the souls of other people. He that winneth the soul is wise. And notice what he says. They will heap to themselves teach because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. You know, sometimes God's word tells you something you don't want to hear. You know what? As I grow in the Lord, I have a lot more confidence in my faith. Why? Because I evaluate. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. My wife will tell you that. But it does mean that as the more I grow, the more I come in line with what God expects me, and my faith, my confidence within myself gets greater. It gets greater. Why? Because I have more confidence in God's word because I'm conforming to it. I'm doing what it says to do. A lot of Christians, they are self-condemned. God is not in the condemning business. He's in the transforming business. And He wants to correct us. He wants to show us the right way of doing things. Why? Because then we will be sharper than a two-edged sword, and we will be able to discern what comes out of our innermost being compared to what comes into our head. I've learned not to hear God's voice through my outer man. All my outer man does is give ear to let it sink in to me, my spirit. Because it says in the latter times, knowledge will increase, but there are going to be many that accumulate knowledge, but they don't understand anything. Why is that? Well, because there's something more than natural knowledge, people. It's called epinosis. It means a knowledge on top of natural knowledge that gives you the correct interpretation to what God's saying, and only the Holy Spirit can give you that. You know, I was thinking about the situation we're in this COVID and how people are up in arms and are losing their jobs and everything. And it finally dawned on me one day. This thought came to me, and I think it was the Lord. He said, I was saying, Lord, how do I help people to understand that fear is not the avenue for handling COVID? Fear is not the avenue. So what do I say to my people to get them on the right track like I did with the Y2K thing? You know, everybody, it's all collapsing overnight. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, tell my people to be more concerned about their ability to hear with the right ear what goes into their mind than what goes into the body. He said if they would have that same concern about what goes into their thinking, then what goes into the body? Everybody is fighting for what's going into the body. But nobody is fighting or contesting what goes into the mind. And there are some things that we have allowed to go into our mind we have no business digesting. Especially if you don't know the subject. And that's what Jude was talking about. In the latter times, there'll be more people give their opinions about something that they don't know a dang thing about. Amen. Of course, I'm not a doctor neither. But I know one thing. I'm not going to allow fear to get into me concerning the COVID thing. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm part of the church. Do you know what? It is so important, people, of what goes on in your thinking. Extremely important. I want to share with you something. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself, verse 1, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. It's easy to be bold toward somebody when you're not present. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Wow. Paul was about ready to get under some people that was accusing him to walking after the flesh. Now watch what he says. For though we walk in the flesh, how many of you walk in your flesh? I think you don't have to raise your hands because everybody that's here, you're walking in your flesh. Notice his next words. We do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of the warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal. Well, what are they? But mighty to God for pulling down strongholds. What is a stronghold? It means a place we've erected for our self-protection. It's called reasoning. And this reasoning is not referring to the reasoning that is good to have, meaning when you touch a fire, you'll get burnt. If you sit down on taxes, you'll get stuck, pricked. You know what I mean? I meant there's certain reasons that is important. How many of you know that sitting down in a pew, it's nice to have the pew there because it'll hold you. It doesn't get up and run away from you. You sit down. So there's natural reasoning but the reasoning he speaks of here is the reasonings that you've built within yourself through that first ground that you think it's your protection, but really you're your own prisoner. And you don't know how to do warfare. Well, what happens if you don't know how to do warfare? Well, the warfare that you've got to learn to do is what you do mentally. That you may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And I've learned that if I'm going to handle any situation in my life, I'm going to get all kinds of information out here that I cannot trust in, but one thing I can trust in, and that is the Word of God. And I know that whatever I need of what's going on out here, if I go to the Word and find it in the Word, I know then that what I found in the Word is sufficient enough to protect me. I'm not going to cough up another reasoning that somebody else had put before me to take, because that's called doubt. Since I become a pastor, I had no idea that, number one, I had to learn something about real estate. I'm not a realtor, but I had to learn something about it. Number two, I had to learn something about counseling. I'm not a certified counselor, but I had to learn to do some counseling. And number three, I'm not a doctor. I can't give you a prescription. If I give you a prescription, you might fall on the ground with X's in your eyes. Because I'm not a doctor. All as I can do is give you what is necessary for you to do the proper warfare against whatever goes on. Because people, I'm going to tell you what, any information you get out here is not sufficient for what needs to be put in here. Now, in closing, I want to say something about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, I'll give you another comforter when he comes, and then you'll begin to know all things. Well, he's referring to knowing what the scripture is saying. But let me share something with you that I've learned about Jesus when he speaks. It's in a still, small voice, and it comes from within. And it's the Holy Spirit giving me something that I prayed up and asked for the Father. Because it has to go through my outward man. And once the Spirit imparts that to me, it does something for me. The word comforter, did you know in the earlier inception of the church, the word comforter did not have the meaning of to console one? What I meant by consoling is a believer gets into a lot of trouble. And the word for comforter today that we use, the modern translation, is the Holy Spirit will come alongside you and say, it's all right, buddy. It's all right, buddy. It's going to work. Amen. Amen. You feel better?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's not what the word comforter meant at the inception of the church. It is a Greek word fortis, which literally means one who comes alongside you and empowers you with the sufficient strength to overcome with. People, if you don't pray in tongues, you need to get up here and we'll get you filled. But if you have spoken in tongues, you need to do some oiling. Get to the joints of that tongue and start oiling it and start using it. Because it will build your most holy faith. It is your lifeline to the wisdom of God. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. You know what? I don't want to be a disciplinarian over you. What I want to do is give you information of how you can stand on your own two feet before God. If I have to do it, you got to do it. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Get a clue. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They cannot pull down strongholds. These strongholds is casting down arguments, reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know what? If I was to have to stand alone on that subject, I would be fine. But we don't live alone. We live with influences. Our whole life is influenced by whom we fellowship, gather around, and everything. And you will find yourself every time listening to things you should not listen to. You got to blank them out. Because you know that that is contrary to what God said. Dad Hagen brought this out that I thought was very interesting. Dad Hagen said, that's why I keep my mouth shut. You never get him to talk. I mean, at his funeral, one of the Raymond singers said they invited Dad Hagen out to lunch, and Dad went out to lunch with him and never said anything at the table, and they did all the talking, and he never said anything, and he says, well, how did you like the lunch? And Kenneth Hagen said, fine. They said, they got one word, fine. So they get back to the church and back to the offices and everything. Didn't have anything to say. And finally, one of the ringers said, well, you don't never say much. Why don't you say much? He said, it keeps me out of trouble. So the more he talked, the more he got into trouble. But this is a doctrine that many people do not understand. It's called soma. It means the body of Christ that is to bring in mortification. Well, if you're a body, mortification will set in. But you're of a different spirit. What does that mean? It means now you're a cadaver, and now the acts and deeds of that cadaver has to set into mortification. And that's what the Word of God do. It'll mortify you. Well, we hope you got something. Those of you listening online, praise God. Say this with me. Thank God. I am a spirit. I occupy a body that is thoroughly under control of my spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me newness to life. I thank you, Jesus, giving me a tongue of the learn. Thank you, Father, for speaking in tongues. Thank you, Father, that through Paul, you said, forbid not speaking in tongues. It is the doorway into hearing your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not sure if I'm speaking to anyone particular, but if you're here by live stream, and you feel that your well has dried up, just like Timothy, your surroundings can wear on you. But when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, it brings out a whole different attitude in you. It charges you up. It stirs up the fire within you that is about to go out. Stir up them embers and bring it, kindle it back into a flame. Hallelujah, because that is your key, your success. And if you've been taught that tongues are not for you today, don't pay any attention to that. Everyone needs to be able to speak in another language besides their own intellect. So important. So important. So, if you want to, you can contact us by live stream, those of you here. If somebody is here has just neglected that language, then I want to pray for you this morning for you to rekindle it. It is so important. Hallelujah. Let me join my faith with yours that you will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those of you that are watching by live stream, if you just get alone and start speaking in that heavenly language and let it begin to roll, it's you that does the speaking, not the Holy Spirit. He'll just give you the utterance, but you've got to do the speaking. Hallelujah. It'll make a difference in your life. It's made a difference in my life. Hallelujah. I can't live without it. It's my lifeline. Especially to the wisdom of God. So give us a call. Or if you know brothers and sisters that are on fire in that area, get with them. Have them pray with you. And your most holy faith will come forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. That little Micah. Once I dismiss the service, if anybody wants me to come into agreement with them about their prayer language, you want me to pray with you and come into agreement that you'll do that. It's so important. It makes a difference in the way you think. Hallelujah. Father, as we get now ready to dismiss this wonderful people, I pray, Father, that whatever the word that I shared with them today, they get a hold of it, Father, and they run with it. It is so important, especially for their faith. It is the only way that they can build their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, it stood the test of time, clear up to Jude. From the fallen angels to Jude, it has served the lasting time. So, Father, may we take advantage of that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Again, if some of you want to come up for prayer, feel free to.